This is Unserious.
Hey everyone, Unserious producer and co-founder Mike Avono here with Upshots, a short version of Unserious to kick off your Monday morning with one quick idea that you can put to use today. Our guest today is Sarah Lynn Brook, an award-winning author and writing and literature professor. Her most recent novel, Light of the Fire, is available now everywhere books are sold. Sarah Lynn, welcome. What are we learning today?
Something I like to call the feedback barometer.
Okay. Who is this for?
I use it for my creative writing students, but it can be put to use in other ways too.
All right. Most of us do make things that need feedback, but why is this important?
It lets people take control of their feedback. So those in the position to provide feedback can offer what's most helpful to the receiver. Mm.
Yeah, I know sometimes giving feedback can be awkward. So I could see how like a tool or a process that we all know and use could be really helpful. How does it work?
So when I give feedback on a student's short story, I ask students to tell me what kind of feedback they're looking for according to a rating system. So I go from 1 to 3. So 1 is mostly cheerleading. So the bulk of my attention is paid to the strengths of the piece, like what you're doing right and the ways to continue building on those strengths. So this is pure cheerleading and kind of keep going. 2 is a mix of that cheerleading and also some tough love to take the work to the next level. And 3, I will absolutely pay attention to those strengths, but I will also push the students to improve the work with an eye toward publication, possibly. Some comments may be perceived as quote unquote harsh.
Okay, so you're asking people, like, give me a 1, 2, or 3.
Yes, yes.
Ah, I love that. I think feedback is something that is better when you have kind of authorized somebody to give it to you?
Yeah, it makes it so that students have the opportunity to receive feedback that speaks to them, that's helpful to them right here and now. And so for me, I can kind of modify my approach depending on what they want. So for example, you know, 1 is all cheerleading. I'll show them how they're most successful, what they're doing well, and how they can use that strength in other parts of their manuscript. So I teach them to kind of lean into those elements, lean into those strengths. Or if they ask for a 3, which is the most critical, I'm also giving them what they want, even if it's harsh. We're all trying to make the work better and students feel heard and know that I'm on their side. I also see the feedback barometer as a way for students to get used to asking for what they want. For instance, when I ask for feedback on something that I'm writing, like from like beta readers, for example, I'll only ask for what I need. It's a way to set boundaries from unwanted or unhelpful feedback.
I could see this being really powerful outside of a classroom setting too. Do you ever do that? Do you ever use it outside the classroom?
So my husband works for Comcast as an instructional designer, and he uses something similar when he gives and receives feedback on the projects that he's tasked with. So that way they kind of know going in what it is that they want and what they're looking for. And as someone who's providing the feedback, he knows exactly how to approach that feedback and what's most helpful for them.
Does anyone ever ask for a 0?
That could be a potential pitfall, right? And that gives you some useful information too, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of pitfalls, what are some of the ways that this can go awry?
You know, if someone doesn't really want to be pushed, that can be kind of a red flag. But I tend to actually use it. I come from a place of, you know, positivity. I like leaning into those strengths first, always, no matter what level they ask for. And I know that if they're looking for 1, that there's lots of good reasons for that. And it could be that they don't want to be published. They're just trying out poetry, for example, for the first time. And it's really going to feel hurtful for them to hear something negative or that they perceive as negative.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that they won't grow into wanting deeper feedback, you know, in the future. But for now, it's good for me to understand where they're coming from.
Sure. How do you approach rolling this out? Do you have any pro tips on implementing the feedback barometer or for delivering the feedback itself?
I think that it's sort of built into my assignments. So they know going in It's part of my, the fabric of my class. So they understand where I'm coming from. I like to make sure that before we even get started on writing tasks, that they know who I am as an instructor. It's most important for me, for them to know that I'm on their side, that we are working on this together. We both want the best for this particular piece of writing or whatever it is that they're working on, that we both want it to be the best that it can be.
Ah, man, I love that. I love that it sounds like it's building trust. It's building relationship. Mm-hmm. And I've been in a lot of organizations where people say, oh, we value feedback, but then they don't because they don't actually deliver it or receive it well.
Yeah.
And so you're actually like building a culture
of
feedback.
I think everybody wants to feel heard, you know, and so, and not just sort of talked at.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love this. Thank you so much for sharing the feedback barometer. I'm definitely going to put this to use either in or out of the workplace. Before we go, can you share what your most recent book is about?
Sure. My latest book is called Light of the Fire. It just came out a month ago. And it centers around two estranged high school besties and former soccer teammates who were forced to face a 20-year-old accident that was blamed on someone else, something that they've kept secret for all these years and that subsequently destroyed their friendship. So when circumstances bring the two together again, they have to decide to what extent they're going to go to keep their secret hidden or face the consequences of finally coming clean. So really, it's a story in the end about the power of friendship, forgiveness, and healing from past mistakes.
I can't wait to take a look. Again, you can find Light of the Fire everywhere books are sold, and you can keep up with Sarah Lynn on sarahlynnbruck.com. That's sarahlynnbruck.com to learn more about her work. As always, we've included a link to Sarah Lynn's cheat sheet in the show notes and at our website on Sirius.com. Just click on the podcast link to find this episode. All right.
Thanks, Micah.
Yeah, thank you.